Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 67 of the Happy Hearthstone podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and the cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I am joined by a new host, Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing, Josh?
I am doing all right. I've got a bit of a cold, so as you know, I've been kind of out of it today. I've slept almost half of the day, so I feel like I'm going to be a little more goofy this episode, maybe. Should be interesting.
That should be fun.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I actually am just getting over my cold. My whole family's been suffering through it. You know, this winter's just been nuts. But
yeah. So did you give me this cold over email? Is that what happened?
You know, that could be. I hear that some email viruses have been going around. So.
That's true. All right. Well, I'm going to blame you, Chris. So this podcast isn't off to a good start.
Oh, no.
I know. So
hopefully we can redeem it.
I'm excited. So actually, Chris, you're going to be here two episodes in a row, right?
Yeah.
So listeners,
as long as I don't screw things up too bad.
That's true. Yeah. So so people listening, if Chris isn't the host next time, you'll know how I really felt about him. Because right now that's the plan. Yeah. So Chris, you reached out, and do you want to kind of talk about kind of what you brought and what you love about Hearthstone while you're here?
Yeah. So. I got started back in Blackrock Mountain, so I haven't been playing a very long time, almost a year now. But so my first big expansion launch was TGT, and ever since TGT was announced, I have been in love with a single card, and that is the Dreadsteed. And so I built a deck, and I reached out to you, and finally, we worked things out where I'm going to bring that deck next week and we're going to battle each other. But tonight, we're going to talk about the Dreadsteed and what's so cool about it and just everything that you can do with that card.
Yeah. So before we get more into that, this is going to be a new episode type. I'm excited. I hope, listeners, that you like this because I think I'd like to do more of this in the future. So we're dedicating the whole episode to the Dreadsteed. We're going to talk about, you know, what it is, the interesting ways to use it, its lore, what? And then all the different, like, combos and the cards that counter it and kind of the things that we've used with it. It's just, we're writing, like, a love poem to the Dreadsteed this episode, and it should be fun. And then next week, when we do the deck battle, we'll get to see it in action. So I'm hoping it'll be a nice little combo. So what is it about the Dreadsteed that kind of made you fall in love with it, though? I'm just curious.
I think that the thing that I loved most about it was this idea of always having board presence once you put it on. It may be a tiny 1/1, but there are so many things you can do with that and combos that you can pull off to keep board presence, keep your opponent off the board, and just make things so annoying for them and so fun for yourself.
Awesome. Annoying for them and fun for yourself is the best thing in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Cool. So you've been loving this Dreadsteed. Is that like all you've been playing pretty much?
No.
Okay.
I play a wide variety of decks. You know, I hate to say it, but I level quite a bit with Secret Paladin.
There's no shame in that.
I'm pretty good with that deck, but a lot of people say that's not hard to do, but there's some intricacies to it and some tech choices you can make. And then I love Freeze Mage. I know a lot of people also hate that deck, but I love it. And I will play that. I like long control games. I just find it fun to win, you know, in a different way than just beating your opponent down by turn 6 or 7.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So, Chris, you've listed 3 pretty annoying decks so far, I gotta say.
I might just be an annoying player. I don't know.
That's all right, too. All right, cool. So let's talk about why we're happy before we jump into the show. You want to go first?
Yeah. I kind of mentioned that my family's been kicking our colds. And so tonight was kind of the first night we've been able to get out and do something fun in quite a while. So we took the kids to the Natural Curiosity Museum in our area. We live in Lehigh, and in Lehigh we have this famous museum and called Thanksgiving Point. And the kids just loved it. I got to take them through this gigantic maze, climbing up spider webs, going down slides. It was wow. A lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm happy. It's my dad's birthday over the weekend.
Happy birthday to him. That's great.
Yeah, I'll pass it on. Although he's like going on some vacation for 3 weeks and won't have phone. So I'll probably won't remember to talk with him or say that to him. But thanks on his behalf. Yeah, so I got to spend a lot of time with family over the weekend, which was really cool. And then they've got like tons of land with all these plants and stuff. So they have like orange trees. So like they did fresh squeezed orange juice and stuff. It was just really fun.
That sounds delicious and awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing though. It's amazing and terrifying because we picked like 8 oranges and we got 3 of the tiniest little glasses of orange juice you can imagine out of it. So I think back to all the times that I drank like a really tall glass of orange juice and was like, that's like
that
10
a lot
oranges.
Of work.
Yeah, that is a ton of sugar that I just drank, but it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so before we jump into all the fun Dreadsteed talk, there's a little bit of news. The FAQ on the Standard and Wild formats got updated. I don't know if you saw this, Chris, but they announced that all current reward set cards, including promo cards, will be restricted to Wild format.
That kind of made me sad a little bit, I have to say. With old Murkai going away, that's...
Yeah. So the two I can think of are Captain's Parrot, which is the one if you own all pirates, and Old Murkai if you own all Murlocs. Are there any other ones?
There are 2 other ones that are legendaries. They were BlizzCon rewards.
Oh, like the Elite Torn Chieftain.
Elite Torn Chieftain and Gelban Mechator.
Okay. I'm not gonna miss Gelban Mechator.
Yeah.
That guy has backfired on me too many times.
Yeah, he does more harm than good.
Okay, yeah, so when Standard format arrives, they also said you won't get those cards by collecting like the secret achievements
right. That
they have now for Captain's Parrot and Old Murkai, but you're going to have to craft them, and they're legendary, so that's going to be 1,600 dust.
Well, Captain's Parrot, I believe, is a common.
Oh, it is?
So
okay,
that one,
so that's not
no,
bad.
That's just 40 dust, so that one actually is an improvement.
Okay.
Currently, you've got to craft a lot of stuff to get Captain's Parrot, and it's not that great.
I tried to do that today, and I just looked at it as like, eek, that's a lot of epics and legendaries. I think I'm just going to pass. but Old Murkai, if you haven't done it yet, if you haven't unlocked him, he's a lot easier to get. There's only a couple, I think there's a couple epics, a couple rares, and that's it. There's no legendaries you have to craft or anything.
Right. I think the only epic that you have to craft is the shaman. What is it called? The Siltfin.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that when a Murloc dies, draws a card.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And everything else is rare below?
I believe so, yeah. I think Cold Light Oracle is rare. And most others are, there may be another rare or two, and then the rest are just commons.
Awesome. So someone on Reddit actually put together a total list of the ones you need to craft, so we'll just toss that in the show notes. So if you don't have that card yet, highly recommend go doing it. My brother actually mentioned that to me at my dad's birthday over the weekend, and so that's how I knew to do it. So get them now, or at least get Old Murky Eye. Captain's Parrot, probably wait to get that one, because that'll be much easier just to craft on itself.
Yeah. And if you like to collect gold cards, definitely go through and just craft the gold Murloc so you can get the golden Murkai while you can.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Otherwise, that's 3,200 dust that you have to use to craft old Murkai.
Eek. Yeah, and I mean, if you're one of those people that wants like the all golden set eventually, I mean, you might as well just do it now and just make it faster, because then you don't have to craft the non golden versions of those cards as well to unlock him.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Before we jump into this mythical, mysterious Dreadsteed, I want to talk a little bit about why we're dedicating an episode to a single card, because I think it on the surface it seems a little weird. We've never done this before, and you kind of wonder how much can you talk about. But one thing that we do get a lot of requests for is people asking us to dedicate episodes to deck building, showing the process of how you make a deck, what the thought process is. And one of my favorite ways to do that, just personally, is to start with a single card like the Dreadsteed. Like you kind of mentioned this, Chris, like when you first saw it, you're like, I need to build a deck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Dreadsteed is just kind of that perfect example of that sort of thing. As soon as you see it, your mind just starts racing like, okay, it's an infinite 1/1. What can I do with that? So for this episode, we wanted to kind of talk about why the card's interesting, what some of its pitfalls and strengths are, and then what makes you want to build a deck around it. And then next week, you'll get to see the full deck that we've built around it. So I'm hoping that these next two episodes combined are kind of a fun way to do the deck building episode that people were asking for. That's not just us listing off 40 cards for, you know, an hour in a row.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go straight into the card. So before we dive any deeper, so everyone knows, the Dreadsteed is a 4-cost 1/1 with Death Rattle, summon a Dreadsteed. Pretty self-explanatory. It's an epic. So it costs 400 dust to craft it, and if you want a deck with two of them, that's 800 dust you got to throw up right at the front. It's from the Grand Tournament set, which means it will be available in Standard whenever that happens, which is really cool.
Yeah, and you know, I was lucky enough to open my first one with the pre-order pack for TGT.
Oh, nice.
So that got me started, and I actually just played with the one for quite a while until I decided, you know, I need more consistency with this. I need the second Dreadsteed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can get by with one for a while, but you'll notice that you're not getting your Dreadsteed every game, and you really want him, so it's worth it to craft both.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Maybe before you craft two, just craft the one. Play with the deck for a while and make sure that kind of you enjoy the style that it has.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a great idea.
Okay, cool. So this podcast, so you mentioned in the notes actually here, Chris, that a lot of the cards that the Dreadsteed works with are not going to be available in Standard, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of frustrating, but at the same time exciting to see what Blizzard is going to provide to make the Dreadsteed still work, because I can't imagine that they'll just let it fall by the wayside without giving it some sort of support going into Standard, because it's part of TGT, it's part of Standard. So I hope there's going to be something.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think there will be, partially because for the reasons we've said, where it's just one of those cards that people look at and want to build. And if someone comes in any time during 2016 and sees that card, they're going to try to build a deck. And it'd be a shame if there wasn't anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So this podcast in the future is going to be more for maybe wild players right away if there aren't a lot of stuff. Because the thing about Standard, right, is anything that comes out in 2016 will be a part of it. But that means it might be the later set that's released in 2016 if there's more than one.
Yeah, it could be possible.
So we may have to wait a little while to make it happen, but you'll always be able to take advantage of it in Wild. And so we'll be talking about cards that are available in Wild as well. Actually, this reminded me. Listeners, we've had some questions talking about what to do with deck battles and kind of for if we do more features like this in the future on specific cards. I'd be really curious to know if you guys are really more interested in Standard or Wild, or if you want us to cover both on the show. It feels like standard is maybe the better way to go, because that's what it seems like most people are going to focus on, but I'd love to hear what you guys think. Let us know so we know what we should cover on the show.
It might be fun to even make two different decks, that one that works for wild, one that works for standard.
Oh, yeah.
And play it out that way.
Oh,
with
man.
Some decks, that might not be possible. Other times, you know, it could work really well.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought about that. I hesitate on that just because the hosts already have to put in a ton of work to build the one deck and build the guide for it. I'd feel bad asking them to do more, but it could be cool. All right, there you go. There's idea number one. If you listeners out there have any more, let us know.
Sorry if someone else had that idea, I'd beat y'all to the punch since I'm on the call.
That's right. Hey, that's the benefit. You come on the show, you get the first ideas. I like it. All right. So do you want to talk, Chris, about kind of what is it about this card that makes it so interesting? I mean, especially for people that maybe are newer to the game and don't know a whole lot, why is this card special?
So every other card in Hearthstone has a weakness. It dies. Dreadsteed, while it dies, it comes right back, and it comes back over and over again. So, you know, that alone presents something that no other card has. There are other cards that come back to you, such as Malorn. Malorn, the Dreadsteed legendary.
The Druid.
Druid legendary will go right back into your deck, so you'll get him back later.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that's in your deck, it's you got to wait for it to come back and things like that, unless you're going into Fatigue. Then there's the Rogue legendary Anubarak, which, when it dies, summons a Nerubian, a 4/4 Nerubian, and the Anubarak goes back into your hand. But then you have to pay 9 mana again to resummon it, and, you know, so that's pretty costly, and you're committing to that every turn.
Yeah. It's hard to combo things with him, too, because every turn you're spending all of your mana just to get him on the board.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, with the Rogue, that's a big challenge because Rogue is so combo heavy.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to play a couple of cards at least every turn. And then there's the Skeleton Knight that does the Joust when it dies. And if you win that Joust, then it goes back into your hand. And, you know, those are kind of the closest things. But with the Dreadsteed, you pay your 4 mana and then you have it. It's on the board. Unless it gets silenced or removed with, you know, several small ways that you don't really have to worry about with too many classes, it's there, and it's there for the rest of the game. And I mean, and who wants to devote their removal to a 1/1, right?
Yeah.
So you'd be surprised how often it's safe from those kind of removals.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, too, because a lot of people discount, like, a 1/1. They don't, oh, well, it's no big deal. But you're thinking, like, if you have 6 more turns to go or something, I mean, that's 6 damage right there, guaranteed, at the very least.
Right.
It adds up.
And, you know, the Warlock is not a ping class. Its hero power hurts itself. It draws a card, but it hurts itself.
Mm-hmm.
But now, all of a sudden, on the board, you paid 4 mana, and you have a ping every turn. So, you know, that's a benefit that a lot of people don't think at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You could almost compare that to Shadow Form with the Priest, where you pay 3 mana to change your hero power to be able to ping every turn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of hidden things that you may not think about right at the beginning with that card.
Yeah, it does seem, it's interesting because a lot of the Warlock themes as well are like killing your own minions, buffing demons. I mean, this seems to work great with both those. You want to sack this because it comes back right away and you buff it and then it's terrifying.
Yeah. And, you know, it works with all kinds of those demon synergies where you're destroying things and bringing things back. It's crazy.
All right. So that's why the card is interesting. But before we get into, like, the real meat of all the cool combos you can pull off with it, I want to talk about the lore at first, because that's kind of another side of the card that has the flavor text and stuff like that. So I'm going to read this flavor text out. It says, Crescendo himself summoned this steed, riding it to victory in the grand tournament. Wherever he rides, an army of riders ride behind him, supporting the legendary champion. So
wow, that gives me goosebumps.
It does.
Knowing what that means.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
So Crescendo was a big fan of Hearthstone and of Blizzard games, and he developed cancer, and the community managers gave him a lot of support and actually got the card basically dedicated to him. He posted this big post about how Hearthstone had helped him get through all of his chemo treatments and things like that. But at the time when he posted it, this was before TGT was announced, he wasn't doing too well, and it sounded like he might pass away from his cancer, the cancer might beat him. But luckily we heard right after TGT was released, was announced, and people were talking about the cards and things like that, right before it was released, you were able to go into the crafting mode and look at all these cards, and you could see all their flavor text and everything, and so people found the flavor text for Dreadsteed and found this, and like, oh my gosh, it's about Crescendo, because he was a very popular player on the subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dedicated this whole post to him, and he responded and said, "Hey guys, I'm here." And basically talked about how much the game had helped him and how he's actually starting to recover and he's doing a lot better. And I just think, wow, that's so amazing that Blizzard would do that, would do this big shout out and dedication to one of their fans.
Yeah. And
so, you know, just really, really impressed by that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I love the card choice too, considering what he's going through. Because this is the minion that never dies, right? It's
exactly.
Reborn constantly, yeah. And you can't get rid of it. I just love that message too. Yep. So that's really cool. Yeah, so it was really cool to see that he was getting better and doing well as of the TGT release. Hopefully he still is today. All right, so that's the flavor text lore. Super cool. Really excited about that. But let's talk about some of the WoW lore too. So Chris, do you play WoW?
I actually don't. I've wanted to check it out a time or two, but just for one thing, the 28 gigabyte download is kind of daunting.
It's intimidating, yeah.
Well, and you know, just I know from friends how much of a time commitment it is, and so I haven't gotten into it. I did play all the Warcraft RTSs. Been playing that since I was a kid.
Oh, cool.
So there's that, and then Hearthstone sucked me in, but no, I haven't played WoW.
All right, well, that's okay, because I've played enough WoW for both of us. So, so I've got this side of it covered. It's cool. So the Dreadsteed is actually the highest tier mount for the Warlock class. So a few of the classes get specific mounts just for them. And so the Warlocks, you start with kind of a fell horse, but then you upgrade to the Dreadsteed, which is really cool. So it leaves this cool trail of fire behind it when it runs on water.
So kind of like the Back to the Future DeLorean you're talking about?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool, because that's kind of what you mentioned, this the summoning animation kind of does that when it flies in too. I think it leaves a little trail of fire, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it has like a ghost of the Dreadsteed.
Yeah.
Like this orangey ghost of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So actually, in WoW, it can't fly, which is weird, but it does fly onto the board in Hearthstone. It looks really cool.
You know, I think it's not necessarily that it's flying, but how do you animate that in Hearthstone where you've got this board?
That's true.
You know, so I kind of think it's just galloping onto
okay.
the board.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
You've got the galloping hooves.
Yeah.
That's.
Ooh, that's a good hoof sound. Can you do that again? I love it. So it was really cool when this quest first came out to unlock this mount, because early on getting mounts in WoW was super rare, or super difficult. You had to do this long quest chain that involved collecting all these dark artifacts and killing demons and taking their organs or whatever, and then doing this ritual to open a portal to Zoroth. And Zoroth is this planet. It's one of the countless planets controlled by the Burning Legion, which is like kind of the large demon faction that is conquering the universe in Warcraft. And Zoroth is the fiery, chaotic planet that's home of the Dreadsteeds, where the Dreadlords have kind of taken over and used these Dreadsteeds as their mounts. So these are kind of like supposed to be one of the most intimidating mounts in the galaxy, essentially.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And some fun side fact, there's actually been some hints in the game that Zoroth may have a role to play in a future Burning Legion expansion. So we might actually be going in WoW sometime, because the next expansion coming out is all about the Burning Legion. So there might be something with Zoroth there and Dreadsteeds, which could be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Can you imagine just a whole world of like flying demon horses? That sounds terrifying.
Just fire everywhere.
Yeah.
I just picture them moving around.
I just picture like the tornado from Wizard of Oz, and you're like trapped inside of it, but just demon horses all around you all the time. And actually, the other place where Dreadsteeds, I don't know that it's a Dreadsteed. I couldn't find confirmation, but it looks like a Dreadsteed. The Halloween event that they do in game is the Headless Horseman. He was a Scarlet Crusade fanatic, which is like an anti-zombie, essentially, group. But he goes crazy, he gets killed, and a demon raises us from the dead and gives him this Dreadsteed mount. And it's interesting, it looks like the Dreadsteed, but it's actually green. Like, the fire is green, which is like their demon fire color in WoW. And he cruises around on this mount during Halloween time, just burning up, like, orphanages and all this stuff that's, like, the most evil thing you can think of. But players can actually earn that mount. Anyone can earn it. And it flies. And so it looks like a Dreadsteed, and it gallops like it does, but it actually flies through the air while it's kind of running. This is really cool look. And all right, last side note for the lore. Warlock players, so they have the Dreadsteed that's on the ground, and everyone else can get the one that flies, that's green. Warlock players can actually change their color to green as well. It was a super rare quest that was only available for a certain limited time. But yeah, so you can get a demon Dreadsteed mount, whether you're a Warlock or not in WoW.
Very cool.
There you go. There's your lore minute for the card. And then you actually had a little dev note here, like a real life lore for the card.
Yeah. So Ben Brode talked about how he had originally wanted the Dreadsteed to be a neutral minion. It was going to be part of the Naxxramas expansion, the adventure. And they were going to call it the Relentless Geist. But the Warsong Commander being a card at the time that remind me the actual text of the Warsong Commander.
Any minion with two or less attack gets
three or
charged.
Less, right?
Three or less, yes, yeah. You're right, gets charge.
Yeah, so you can imagine that a minion that once it dies comes right back and is then given charge again and again, basically creates... Ben Brode talked about it as a machine gun effect, where you basically just be able to machine gun down, mow down your opponent's entire board.
Yeah, because it's like an infinite loop, right?
Yeah.
You just
and, you know, you could only go face once, but that wouldn't be the point. The point would be to just get rid of your opponent's board with one minion.
Which is just so annoying, too, because you have to sit there and wait while they attack 15 times in a row,
man.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And we know how those animations went. And
yeah. Oh my gosh.
You thought Patron was bad. This would have been far worse.
Yeah, where it's flying in, galloping over and over and over again. You'd basically be on Zoroth at that point.
Yeah. There have been a couple of times when I was first building decks with Dreadsteed, where I would put a faceless manipulator in my deck just to steal a warrior's Warsong Commander.
Oh.
I'd steal that, and then I would do exactly that. Just mow him down.
That is
which
cruel.
Sounds like it would have been awesome, but the problem is it's against Patron Warrior, and Patron a patron warrior would give you a board full
of three patrons threes. At that point.
But the benefit was I could fill their entire board with patrons, knock them all down to one health, and then get rid of them. So it took some planning, it took some effort, but, you know, it was still not a good matchup.
Yeah. That does sound fun, at least. Yeah. But it's kind of, it seems like it's kind of annoying to have to, because what would you have to do? Seven of them, three? You'd have to attack like almost 30 times.
Yeah.
To build their board and do it. Oh, man.
All right. So don't try and do it on mobile.
All right, so let's talk about some of the BFFs of the Dreadsteed, which are some of the cards that combo really well with him.
Yeah, Dreadsteed needs a lot of support to be able to combo, because he is a 1-1 as it stands at the beginning, but he has a lot of ways to get bigger and grow, multiply. So the big one is Mal'Ganis. Mal'Ganis is a 9-7 legendary that gives all demons +2/+2 and gives your hero immunity. So any Dreadsteeds you have on the board, any demons get +2 attack, +2 health. +2 health, you're not really concerned about that with Dreadsteed, but it's nice to have anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of thing that makes Dreadsteed instantly scary, right? Even people that are like, oh, it's just a 1-1. I'm not worried about that. Suddenly, if you have infinite 3/3s, that's a lot more terrifying.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, the probably Dreadsteed's best friend is Baron Rivendare.
Hmm.
And Baron Rivendare is very interesting. He probably wasn't all that used before. I don't know. You probably know more than I do on this.
So there was one Death Rattle deck when the set came out. Well, there's really two, but Hunter Death Rattle was the big one. And he was a key part of that.
So put him down, then Feign Death and things like that.
I don't think they had Feign Death at the time. Oh, really? Okay. It was based more, there was a, this is, ooh, it's kind of fun having someone here that doesn't know this stuff, because it was such a big deal at the time. The Undertaker is a 1/2 and it gets +1 attack. It used to get +1/+1. So you could combo it, and hunters
can
did
you imagine
have
that with Dreadsteed.
Yeah. And then the Web Spinner as well was a 1 cost with Death Rattle. Is terrifying.
So Baron Rivendare makes Death Rattle's trigger twice. So if you have Dreadsteed on board and Baron Rivendare, you attack Dreadsteed into an opponent's minion, Dreadsteed dies, and then two Dreadsteeds come back. And then you use things like Sacrificial Pact that destroy a demon and then restore 5 health to your hero. So that destroys a demon, then two Dreadsteeds come back from that. So really your goal is to give yourself 4 or 5 Dreadsteeds on board. You really don't want to go more than that, because then you can only put one other minion on board at a time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of difficult.
Because the whole point of the deck is to be able to play one or two other things to buff those minions, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so once you get that on, get rid of Baron Rivendare however you can. Suicide him into something, whatever. Just get rid of him. But he's served his purpose. now that you have these, every turn your opponent plays something, you can use one of your other cards to combo with Dreadsteed to get rid of them. Or you can just run them all into their Chillwind Yeti. You know, if you have 5 of those, Chillwind Yeti's dead. But if you have Power Overwhelming, slap that on one of your Dreadsteeds.
Mm.
And then it hits into it and does 5 damage to whatever. And then it dies, but a new Dreadsteed comes right back.
Yeah, it's interesting because with Power Overwhelming, Sacrificial Pact, Mortal Coil as well, Warlock has all these cards that the downside is, oh, well, you have to kill a minion, or the minion dies after it does this thing, but that's no big deal here. So those cards are just pure upside.
Exactly.
Very cool. And then the other one you have mentioned here is Kel'Thuzad. It's kind of the other big kind of resurrection type.
Yeah, so Kel'Thuzad is interesting because you kind of have to think about it a little bit more because those dread seeds will come back at the end of the turn.
Yeah, so and, his text, just to remind people, is at the end of every turn, he brings back to life anything that died that turn. So if you trade the Dreadsteed twice, the Dreadsteed replaces itself, but then Kel'Thuzad has remembered, hey, a Dreadsteed died twice, so then he makes two more copies of those.
Yep. Yeah, so it's really interesting, because your Dreadsteeds came back right after they died, just like they would normally, but then Kel'Thuzad brings you more. So,
and we always love having more Dreadsteeds.
Right. The only downside to Kel'Thuzad is that they don't come galloping back onto the board. They just come out of the ground. So that's it's a little sad.
Aw, poor Dreadsteeds. Those are the Warlock Mount Dreadsteeds. They're stuck on the ground. They can't fly.
Yeah, there we go.
So I made a quick list, Chris, of cards that... Because I actually haven't played with the Dreadsteed deck very much. I've watched a couple people play it. So I made a list of cards that I'm curious if they'll be good. So if you don't mind, let's just kind of go through them. We'll keep it fast because there's a lot of them. So my first thought was Hobgoblin, right? So this is the guy that gives +2/+2. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, he gives +2/+2 to anything that has one attack.
Now, here's the caveat to that, is it only gives it to minions that you play from your hand.
Oh.
So it would only be the very first time. Once you kill it, then the next Dreadseed comes back 1/1.
Okay.
Which is okay. I mean, it at least gives you a buff to let your Dreadsteed have a little bit more oomph that first time you play it. But there is a con to that, and that is if you're wanting to drop Baron Rivendare, you better make sure that whatever this buffed Dreadsteed is running into will kill it still.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise,
actually,
you know, you're not going to get your multiplying effect, and really, that's one of your win conditions, so you want to make sure that happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. I never really thought about the fact that it gains health as being a downside. You really just want stuff that only give it attack.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how about Knife Juggler?
Knife Juggler, that is one of those things that just becomes broken, basically.
That's not just playing minions. That's anytime a minion shows up, right?
Right. So every time one of them is run into another, then you get... So you got a ping from the Dreadsteed, then you get a ping from the Knife Juggler, and that will just keep going. I actually saw a video where someone set up a 100 Knife Juggler... juggled 100 times because
what?
Of having the Dreadsteeds on both sides of the board and Knife Jugglers on both sides of the board.
Oh my gosh.
It just created this chain effect that went on for, I believe it ended up going on for 10 turns or so worth of time.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
And so after it was over, both players drew into fatigue and died.
Oh man. All right, so how about Flesh-Eating Ghoul? Because that one gets +1 attack every time something dies, and this guy is going to be dying all over the place, right?
You know, so if you had something on board to protect it, then that could be really good because, yeah, you're running your Dreadseeds in, they're dying, and other things are dying. So, yeah, it's going to get rather big. It's going to be almost like a Frothing Berserker.
Okay, yeah. All right, Cultmaster. Every time a card dies, you draw a card. That seems solid.
Yeah, that'd be great, but with Warlock, you're not typically hurting for a card draw.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that might actually make you mill yourself.
And that could be bad.
Yeah.
All right, how about Reliquary Seeker? So this is a 1/1/1. But if you have 6 other minions, it gets +4/+4.
Yeah, and with Dreadsteeds, it's so easy to get the requisite amount of minions on board. So yeah, that becomes a 1/1 cost 5/5. And if you had 5 Dread Steeds, Bran Bronzebeard, it becomes a 1 mana 9/9.
Oh my word. Yeah.
That can be really good.
That's interesting. Okay. Cool. Sense Demons. So I don't know if this is a big deal in the deck, but it seems like if you don't draw Dread Steeds, you just kind of lose. Is that true?
No, my deck has a number of win conditions, so there are ways to stay in the game until you get the Dread Steeds out.
Okay.
But, you know, there are definitely times when there's when a deck would call for Sense Demons in there just to get your Dread Steed or your Mal'Ganis out there into your hand.
Couple more to go through here. Void Terror or Demon Heart, both of which, or let's do Void Terror first.
Yeah, I mean, Void Terror, that's great. If you cast Power Overwhelming onto your Dread Steed and the Dread Steed doesn't die because whatever you ran it into was smaller than the +4/+4 you get from Power Overwhelming, and you still have that left on the board.
Yeah.
Drop a Void Terror between that Dread Steed and one of your other Dread Steeds, and you've got a really big buffed Void Terror. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah. So kind of along those same lines, there's two cards in particular that the Warlock uses that like kills a lot of minions. So Twisting Nether, which kills everything, mm-hmm. and Void Crusher that makes each opponent kill one of their minions. Or sorry, each
right,
player.
Right, that's the Inspire one, right?
Yeah. Like is that a big deal with this deck? Like, are you intentionally doing things that like kill all minions because yours aren't really affected by
Absolutely,
it?
Or is it just not? Yeah.
Okay.
Twisting Nether especially, sometimes that board is like right when you've gotten your big Dread Steed turn, your opponent still might have the board. They might have the board in such a way where even those Dread Steeds aren't going to help you get it back. But if you Twisting Nether, their whole board goes away and you're left with your Dread Steeds.
Yeah. Okay, that seems really good. Because Twisting Nether, I mean, is kind of a sketchy card in the first place, but in this scenario, it seems like it might actually work pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, spending 8 mana to wipe out the entire board kind of seems bad.
Yeah.
But if you actually are only wiping your opponent's board, then awesome. That's actually one of the best ways to get rid of Baron Rivendare.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. All right, cool. So last 3 cards seem to do really well with kind of having a lot of minions on the board. So Frostwolf Warlord, Volcanic Drake, and Sea Giant. So one gets buffed, one gets cheaper, and then 2 of them actually get cheaper based on that.
Mm-hmm. So Frostwolf Warlord, you know, it doesn't matter what part of your turn, because a lot of times playing Frostwolf Warlord takes a lot of careful planning where you have to put him down at a certain time in your turn, so that you have all the minions on board at the same time, so that he gets the biggest buff. But with this, those Dread Steeds will come back whether you attack first or play your minions first.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then
because Volcanic Drake, it gets cheaper every time a minion dies, so you need to trade everything first, and they all come back, but they still count as deaths, so that guy gets cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So okay. Volcanic Drake, that would be a great inclusion.
Okay, and then Sea Giant, just because he gets cheaper with so many things on the board, which seems good.
Yeah, that would be a great inclusion. It's a fairly typical thing to see in a Zulok deck.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having Sea Giant in a Dreadsteed deck would fit right well, very well. Fits the flavor quite well.
Okay, cool. And so the last one, how valuable or important is it to have like the demon buff cards? So Warlock has several of them that deal damage to opponents, or if you do it to a demon, it buffs the demon. But they don't stick through death, so maybe it's not as big of a deal with Dreadsteeds?
Well, I mean, the buff is a buff no matter what no matter what. I mean, your demons are going to die. So if it helps you keep the board, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. The only issue you run into is there room in my deck for these buff cards plus these minions and things that I need? So it's kind of just a balancing act of what's most important. And yeah. I'd say your removal and your Dreadsteeds and your key support things for Dreadsteed are more important than those specific buff spells. And then yeah. use your minions that buff other minions like Mal'Ganis as your minion buff.
Okay, that makes total sense.
But in a different deck than the one I've built, you know, that would work just as well. You know, just depends on how you build your deck, but there's definitely room for something like Demon Heart.
Very cool. All right, so what are some of the natural predators of the Dreadsteed?
Okay, so Silence, we know from that we've talked about, is the Dreadsteed's kryptonite. We have mm-hmm. Keeper of the Grove, a druid card that you can either choose to do 2 damage or silence it. If you are a druid and you come across a Dreadsteed, don't choose the deal 2 damage. Yeah. Just silence it. Get it out of the way. So, you know, that's a big one. Usually I will try and keep my Dreadsteeds hidden until those Keepers of the Grove have come out.
Yeah, because most druid decks do have at least, or if it's a control druid, have 2 of those.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with Silence, we also have Ironbeaked Owl and Spellbreakers.
Oh, yeah.
Which you don't see very often, but there have been some Egg Druids and Egg Paladins that run these. There's been a druid that I've seen occasionally on the ladder that uses things like Ancient Watcher and the Eerie Statue.
Mm-hmm.
And it silences them so they can, that these minions that usually can't attack.
Oh, yeah.
They're cheap minions that are usually just used to put taunt on them and make a wall for your opponent. But now they can attack all of a sudden. So, you know, that can still be a threat. Even though they want to do something else with those silences, they can be flexible and make you have to deal without your Dreadsteeds if you're not careful. And then the absolute worst is Priest. They have Silence, the spell that silences minion, and even worse than that is Mass Dispel, which silences all of your minions.
Yeah, so that's a 4-cost card. Silence all enemy minions and draw a card. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not super popular, but no.
If Dreadsteed became a very popular deck, I could imagine a lot of priests would start running it kind of like Hunters with Flare to counter Secret Paladin.
Yeah, this card does feel like it was built to just be like, let's make sure Dreadsteed doesn't get out of control.
Yeah. So yeah, it was. I've actually had it happen to me where I had 5 Dreadsteeds on the board, and I was going to drop Mal'Ganis for lethal that next turn, and the priest dropped Mass Dispel, and my heart just sunk. All that prep was now wasted.
Well, they still get buffed by Mal'Ganis, don't they?
They would, but except that right after that he Holy Nova'd and they all died.
Oh. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is painful. Ooh. All right, so there's 2 other silence cards. I'm curious if you've run into them a lot and how annoying they are. Because the first one I thought of was actually Earthshock.
Oh,
because that's silence a minion that deal 1 damage to it.
Yeah, that is another one you have to worry about. And for a while, haven't run into shamans. They kind of became very rare for a while. Mm. But yeah, with Aggro Shaman making a big comeback, some of them do tech in an Earthshock, usually to get through taunt. But if they see
a Dreadsteed,
they're like, oh, that's really, That's almost like a Twilight Drake.
Yeah. It's interesting because Earthshock is really just like a kill Dreadsteed, make sure nothing happens card.
Exactly.
For one mana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's scary stuff. And then the other one is a card that we've actually mocked a bit on the show. But Light's Champion, the neutral. Oh. It's a three-cost 4/3 Battlecry Silence a Demon. That seems pretty perfect counter
right.
as well.
Yeah. I actually drafted one in Arena, and on that same Arena, was able to draft a Dreadsteed. And I love Dreadsteed so much that, you know, it's up against other epics. There might have been a better choice for Arena. Because, let's be honest, without all the support tools that you're probably not going to get, Dreadsteed's not a great Arena card. But I took him anyway. And
sometimes you just gotta have fun.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But, I mean, it was kind of weird to have a Light's Champion in a Warlock deck.
Yeah, actually, I don't want to silence any of these.
But it actually has synergy if you really ever found yourself needing this. It has synergy with Jiraxxus, where if Jiraxxus ever gets frozen, you can unfreeze him with Light's Champion, which is kind of interesting.
So just to be clear, because Jiraxxus is the one that replaces your hero,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can silence your hero
exactly.
when it's Jiraxxus.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So that's only fair because there is another card that will kill Jiraxxus, which is Sacrificial Pact. So if they're going to make a card that can kill Jiraxxus instantly, they might as well make it so another card can benefit him.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so I've got a couple more questions that it seems like they might be good predators for the Dreadsteed, but I want to know your thoughts. So it seems like large taunt minions are just minions with a lot of health, like there's the Moshugan champion or whatever, anything like the giant treant. It seems like that just kind of shuts down Dreadsteed because Dreadsteed relies on doing a bunch of pings, but you're going to spend 8 turns pinging those big fat taunt druids, right?
Yeah, except you're not usually left with only one Dreadsteed on the board. And
okay, because you normally build it up so that you have 4 or 5 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then if you buff one of them with Power Overwhelming, then run the others into it, you can usually take out most big taunt minions within that turn.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And so, you know, they don't present as much of a problem as you would think. And then plus, I'm usually holding on to something like Siphon Soul or something like that to take care of the big guys that my opponent puts down.
Okay, that makes sense. And Siphon Soul is the one that just flat out kills something,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And gives you
kills and gives 3 health back to your hero.
Okay. And then the other ones. So it sounds like it's funny because a lot of these cards are priest cards that we're talking about. Entomb.
Yeah.
Seems pretty bad too because that's where it choose an enemy minion, shuffle it into your deck so it doesn't trigger the death rattle. They
right.
just kill
mm-hmm.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, they just remove it from the board and then they get it later on.
Yeah, and then the druid has recycle, which is mm-hmm. similar, but it just puts it into your deck again.
Yeah, shuffles it back into your own deck. Now, you don't see Recycle very much, but Entomb has gotten hugely popular in Control Priest decks. And the issue with that is they're having to weigh, is it worth spending 6 mana to remove a 4 mana minion who is a 1/1? And
yep.
you know, that's a balancing game, because if they can do it early on before you duplicate all of your Dreadsteeds, then it probably is a win for them. But still, it feels bad to spend 6 mana for that. So, I mean, they might or might not do it. They might wait for your bigger minions, which in my deck may not come.
Yeah, that's true. They'll sit there waiting forever, which
yeah.
is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how about this one? So I had to bring this up because Scott, who hosts on the show a lot, hates this card. But I think this might actually be a good use for it, finally. So hear me out on this one. Poison seeds. So this destroy all minions and summon 2/2 treants to replace them. So I was thinking, if your whole deck is about filling your board with these dread steeds, and then I use a card that replaces them with 2/2s, mm-hmm. like that, it's still not great, right? Because it filled your board with 2/2s, which is still a lot, but it kills all of your synergy, which seems good, right?
Well, here's the thing with that, and this is theory talk. I don't know for sure because I've never run across this, but the way that the card text set, it goes is it destroys them. It doesn't transform them like, let's say, a polymorph would.
Mm-hmm.
It destroys them and then summons for every one for every minion that was destroyed, a treant is summoned. So in that case, if that dreadsteed is destroyed, its death rattle is triggered. And
okay.
This is the same as like if a piloted shredder was on the board. I've seen that with poison seeds, that if a piloted shredder is destroyed by it, it's still its death rattle triggers and the two mana minion comes out, and then the treant comes out. So I think you'd still keep all of your dreadsteeds in there.
Okay, so the dreadsteed death rattles would happen first. Those would fill up the board. Because I was thinking the treants would fill up the board, and then the dreadsteeds couldn't show up.
Right, yeah.
But you're probably right that the death rattle happens first.
Yeah, I think
foiled! That's curses! All right, how about this one? So, Vanish. So, I've been playing Mill Rogue a lot. And
deck.
One of the tricks... Which
fun.
Is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the cool tricks, right, is you fill up your opponent's hand with stuff like the Cold Light Oracles, and then you vanish, and then the minions try to go back in hand but can't fit, so then they just disappear.
Now, using this card against a Dreadsteed deck would present a little bit of a different strategy. You'd want to make sure that their hand wasn't filled.
Oh.
So for every Dreadsteed that was out there, you'd want a space in their hand for it. Granted, they would be able to play it again, but that is such a loss of value and tempo for the Warlock.
Oh, yeah, because they'd have
that's going to hurt them quite a bit.
It'll take them like 3 turns to play 5 of them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's 20 mana that they had to spend on that.
So it actually triggers their death rattle effects if it can't fit in their hand?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought like...
Because that's destroying them.
Oh, I thought it counted as like essentially voiding, like in Magic or whatever, where they just kind of disappear. But they actually triggered their death rattle.
Yep, so they would come right back and then, feels bad, man.
Yeah, dude, I'm glad we're talking about this because I certainly would have tried this at some point and then gotten very sad. Okay, interesting. All right, so I want to also just give you some time on the show just to talk about kind of maybe some of your favorite moments with this deck. Do you have some that you just kind of
think
of?
So the deck that I... Is it cool if I talk about what my deck is?
Well, actually...
Do you want to save that for next week?
Let's save that for next week. So we're going to do a whole show on that. Maybe,
yeah.
Sorry, rather than the deck, just maybe singular moments with the Dreadsteed.
Okay. So, I mean, there's nothing better than just having 5 on board and dropping Mel'Ganis. I had an opponent who was just BMing me like crazy. Just, you know, sorry, sorry, well played, greetings, and just going on. And I'm like, you have no idea what is about to happen to you. And, you know, they even, instead of going after Baron Rivendare, they thought they'd be smart and do my job for me. So instead of having to use my Mortal Coil and my Sacrificial Pact on my Dreadsteeds, they just attacked my Dreadsteeds for me with Baron Rivendare on the board and filled my hand and filled it. So then, and they put a minion on the board. I was able to run Baron Rivendare into their minion, killed Baron Rivendare, and then was able to drop, Mel'Ganis, and I had 6 Dreadsteeds on board. So 6 times 3, that's 18 damage. And that minion wasn't a taunt, so I was able to just go face and kill him.
Dude, that's glorious right there. Like, it's so satisfying when people are just BMing you like crazy and spamming emotes and doing that, obviously just totally disrespecting you by giving you tons of dread steeds. Oh, it had to feel so good to just crush them.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, sometimes even you can see the hesitation where they're like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah.
Right? It's... Because, you know, there are some players that you play against and you can tell that they are so board control oriented where they just want to clear your minions. And all of a sudden, there's a minion that's not going to clear, no matter what they do.
It like triggers their OCD. Like,
but it's also, right? Yeah, but it's also a signal for your opponent that they can start to go face. So mm-hmm. It becomes kind of you have initiated a race. And yeah. You are giving your opponent permission at that point almost. So you better make sure that you have something in hand for your next turn to either taunt up, heal up, something so that you can keep the ball rolling. Otherwise, you know, it's going to get scary for you.
Interesting. So if it's turn 4 and you have a dread steed, if you don't have anything like that in hand, do you just wait because you don't want to let them know? Like, you don't want to start the race yet? Do you just wait?
Depends on the matchup. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times, yeah, I don't want to give that away yet. Especially in, like, the mirror where in a Warlock versus Warlock game. If there's a chance that they have Jiraxxus, I'll hold on to the Dreadsteed as long as I possibly can. Because once they drop a Dreadsteed, your opponent knows that you probably have at least one Sacrificial Pact in your deck.
Yeah.
so there's some mind games. It's kind of fun.
Interesting, yeah, because Dreadsteed, that's one thing about the card, is you don't run Dreadsteed in a non-Dreadsteed deck.
Like,
It's not like Voidcaller or something like, okay, you could have this in a few decks, or like a giant. Okay, you could have this in several decks. As soon as you play Dreadsteed, they can type Dreadsteed deck into their browser and know 90% of your deck, like the cards in your deck.
Yeah. In most cases.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't really think about that because it is one of those cards that you build around. Mm-hmm. It is kind of a giveaway when you throw it down.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So one of the other cool things I thought you did is you had an idea for a card you want to see added to the game that combos well with the Dreadsteed, right?
I'm trying to think of for the future what's coming down the line or what could they do to keep Dreadsteed viable in some way, even if the deck morphs into something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of something. I don't know what we call it. Maybe we can come up with a name here. But give a minion +1 attack and death rattle, pass this effect onto minion summoned from its death rattle. So, I mean, this would work with like a Harvest Golem even, it's a 2/3 that when it dies summons a 2/1 and would give that 2/1 that same +1 attack, but it would end there. With that card text, if you gave that to a Dreadsteed, it would basically be like giving a Dreadsteed to a Dreadsteed, where that effect would just pass on.
That's interesting. That's almost like, it's like a permanent upgrade when it's on the Dreadsteed.
Yeah, but I was thinking in Wild, if there was a card like that, if you combo that with Baron Rivendare, and that multiplies.
Oh, my word.
So the next Dreadsteed would have +2. The Dreadsteed after that would have +4. And it would just... It would be so broken that it would be, they'd never print a card like that. But something along the lines would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that because stuff like, what is like the Haunted Creeper, the Spider summons 2/1/1s. I mean, it could be cool. Something along that line.
Yeah. I mean, or do you remember the Tavern Brawl that we had a month or so ago where at the beginning of the game, you chose a buff.
Would
stick with your deck for the entire game.
Yeah.
And you could either do the Battle Cry minions gain +1/+1 or whatever. Death Rattle minions. When you cast a spell, gain 3 armor. If they made spells like that you could cast and then for the rest of the game, your whole deck has this aura effect almost.
Yeah. You
know, that could, something like that could work for a Dreadsteed deck. Where
yeah, that could be really
in
cool.
perpetuity, your Dreadsteeds have this buff.
Yeah. I like that idea. That definitely seems like a space they may move towards. Because, I mean, obviously, Magic is a game that a lot of people compare Hearthstone to or look for new design ideas from. And they have the idea of what do they call them? Auras? Is that what they are? I can't remember. Mm-hmm.
So, like, passive, the auras are usually the passive effects.
It's like a spell that sits on the board the whole time and is in play.
Yeah.
That'd be cool to have, like, where you could basically give your hero a buff. And that buff stays on there. There could be a little symbol for it or something.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. All
right, so I've got a pitch for you for a Dreadsteed card. It's called Endless Service. It's a spell, and you sacrifice a minion and add 2 copies of that minion to your hand.
Interesting. So that'd be kind of like a proactive duplicate for that the mage secret.
Yeah, and kind of like the Rogue Sap as well. Where you kind of return it, to, or not sap. What's the one where you return it to your own hand?
Shadow Step. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, obviously, with the Dreadsteed, the one on the board would die and you'd keep it, but then it would add 2 more to your hand that you could play on future turns.
I like that. That would be a good way to keep it going. You know, you'd have to end up playing them, but still, you're adding your ability to...
Yeah. Just to make the deck a little more consistent. So, if you get one, you can guaranteed you get more.
Yeah, so it's almost like a hybrid between Duplicate and Ancestral Spirit from Shaman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, where it kills and resummons it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. There's 2 cool ideas. We're calling this the Dreaming of Dreadsteed segment.
I'd like to hear what any of your fans would have to add to this. Any ideas they might have.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, if you guys have ideas, please, because we haven't gotten like questions or anything sent to the show for a while. So if you have ideas for cards you'd want to combo with this, jump into the comments in the show notes on GameDiplomat.com. That'd be a cool place to talk about it. Cool. So any other parting thoughts on Dreadsteed before we move into the community segment?
Play it, try it out. It's a fun card, and you'll find that you're playing some insanely fun games, and... If you get a friend ad after the game, add them and then educate them on it. Because I've had some that have been kind of salty about it. Like, man, that game was so long. That was so annoying. And I'll just be like, you know, I'll just explain. This is a total board control kind of deck. And just explain my philosophy. And I've actually made some pretty good friends just explaining my philosophy of Hearthstone and my love of the Dreadsteed. It's been fun.
That's awesome. I feel like you're like a missionary out there when people are like, oh, this Dreadsteed. You're like, excuse me, let me explain the joy and wonder of our Dreadsteed master.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, so I hope you guys had fun listening to this episode and kind of the goal of it is like to get your creative juices flowing, right? Like, I'm hoping you're excited to try and build a Dreadsteed deck because the first time I really kind of dug into the Dreadsteed. I watched Kriparian, who's a streamer, talk about his deck and all the potential for it. And just watching him like get excited about it and all the cards you can combo with got me excited to try. And then I realized it costs like a bazillion dust to craft. That is the one downside to the deck. But we'll be talking about that next week and kind of the other substitutes you could do. So on next week's show, like we mentioned, we're going to do the whole deck battle with this deck in particular. Which I'm really excited to talk about. But let's jump into the community. So like I mentioned, we didn't get any questions because we never get questions. If you have any questions, or it doesn't have to be a question, maybe like a talking point. If you're like, man, I can't believe they dedicated a whole episode to this Dreadsteed. I wish they had talked about goblins. I don't know. Something cool. Curse of Rafam. Like, send in just a little question or note about that, and we'll talk about that on the show. So we didn't get any new iTunes reviews. I don't know what happened. Last episode, we got like 5 iTunes reviews. It's awesome. No new this one's time, but we did get a note on Twitter from Ignatius, who commented. He said, episode this week, so he's talking about last week. Sorry, Chris. He said it was so good. He thought the Card of the Week song was epic, which it absolutely was. So he said, awesome work as usual. Many thanks to you.
Yeah, that definitely raised the bar on the song of the week.
Yeah, Kevin was crazy good at that. That was super exciting. So that was really fun. So thanks, Kevin, for coming on and doing that. Also, I got shamed pretty hard. So when I was reading the iTunes reviews last episode, I mentioned K-Ribs, who wrote one of them, and I couldn't remember if he was my friend Kevin or who he was. I couldn't remember, and so he messaged me to tease me because he was a guest host on the show a while back. He did the arena episode, and that's how I knew it, because I knew I was friends in Hearthstone. I talked to him a lot there, and I totally blanked. I couldn't remember if it was my friend Kevin or somebody else. So anyways, those are the two notes we got. Someone saying the episode was awesome, and one teasing me because my memory is terrible. No donations as well this week, but we did get the awesome Dust Bowl from Jake. So Jake Crawford, who was on a couple episodes ago, sends in 7 packs every month so we can open them live on the show. So I did a live stream right before this. It'll be in the show notes if you want to watch. But we're going to each pick 1 card to save and 1 to dust out of the cards we got out of there. So I'll go ahead and say my card to save first because it is Leroy Jenkins. We got another legendary.
That's
so
amazing.
This is it's crazy. So I'll have to go back and look, but I think this is the 4th legendary in 5 months. So 4 legendaries out of 35 packs. That's crazy. The odds on that. But yeah, there we go. We got another one, and I didn't actually have Leroy Jenkins before. He's an awesome card in aggro, so that's the card I'm keeping.
Yeah, he's even great in a lot of combo decks. I mean, Combo Lock has been using him for a while now, where you drop him, power overwhelming, bam. Nice little finisher. So,
yeah, that's true, because that's only 8 mana for all of that, and that's
actually 7 mana.
Oh, 7 mana.
Yeah.
And then that's how much damage?
Let's
see. That's 14?
6 plus 4 plus 4, yeah, 14.
Oh my gosh, that's brutal. All right, so which of the cards are you going to save?
So I am going to save Savannah Highmane. And, you know, that's Hunter class. I like to say that it's Hunter's legendary, because Hunter doesn't have good legendaries that they get a lot of play. But Savannah Highmane, you can play 2 of them in your deck. That's value right there. I mean,
yeah, because so he's the 6-cost, 6/5. When he dies, he summons 2/2 hyenas.
Yeah. So, you know, you keep beasts on the board that way so that you can combo with your kill command. And it's a really hard card to deal with.
Yeah, I got beat by it twice today, so I can confirm that. All right. Which card are you going to dust?
This was kind of a toss-up for me. I ended up deciding to dust the Spellbreaker. It, you know, in situations where you want to put a silence minion in your deck, you're probably going to go with the lower-cost Ironbeak Owl.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's easier to fit into your turn and still be able to do something else with your turn. Whereas Spellbreaker for 4 mana, 4/3, you know, it's as weak for its mana cost of a body as the Ironbeak Owl, but the Ironbeak Owl is easier to justify at 2 mana.
Yeah, so, it's just so much more flexible, too. And if for some reason you need to silence quick and early, I mean, the Ironbeak Owl is there, and Spellbreaker earliest is turn 3 with coin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That just doesn't feel good.
Yeah. You know what else doesn't feel good? That I'm dusting? That, man, so this was the card, so before I reveal it, this was the card in the original set that was kind of like the Dreadsteed for me, where as soon as I saw it, I tried to build decks around it, I really wanted it to work, and eventually just had to give up. The Dust Devil. The 1-cost, 3/1 Shaman card. It has Wind Fury, so it's 6 damage to the face on turn 2 if it doesn't die.
That's
but it also
if.
Has, which is a huge if, because like we've talked about on the show a bunch, half of the hero powers in the game essentially deal 1 damage.
Mm-hmm.
So they just get rid of it. But it also has Overload 2. So it's not even like, okay, you're risking your first turn. You're risking your first 2 turns. And if they just counter it easily, You're just so far behind already.
Yeah.
Alright, so that guy's getting dusted. Even though he's only a common, he's only giving me a few dust. But hey, I'll take it. Alright, let's jump into Card of the Week. Are you ready to beat Kevin and sing something incredible or what?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
Alright.
Alright. Oh, don't you dare look back. Just give that card to me. You said you're holding back. Show me that card of the week.
Hey, nice. I like it.
Add a little pop to it, you know.
It's good, yeah. My head was bobbing. It's good. That's awesome. All right, so what is the card of the week?
It's Anima Golem. It's a 6-mana, 9/9. With the text says, at the end of each turn, destroy this minion if it's your only one. So, that sounds really bad, but with Dreadsteed fitting with this, with the theme of this episode, this is Dreadsteed's one true friend.
Oh, that's adorable.
This Dreadsteed is this guy's one true friend, the only one who will never abandon him. So that he won't go and destroy himself.
Yeah, so, that's interesting.
And you know, so comboing that with Dreadsteed, you've got this guy who had this huge downside, but for 6 mana, 9/9 is pretty good. And you know, you've got this insane tempo that you can put up, and then he's also a lightning rod for removal, like Big Game Hunter, Shadow Word Death, and other things. That then when you have your Mal'Ganis turn, suddenly it's harder for your opponent to deal with him.
Yeah, that's true. I never really thought about it, because this is actually a Warlock card as well.
Yeah.
So that seems like a really interesting combo. I never thought about that, because Anima Golem, like, you want to believe that it won't die the first turn you play it, but yeah, Dreadsteed guarantees essentially that it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, because really at that point, if you have several Dreadsteeds out, Mass Dispel is really the only thing that can do it, that will remove this guy from the board.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Cool. Yeah, because there's not a whole lot else that's out there, like, because the only thing you could even put it in is, like, Swarm decks, or maybe, like, a Zoo deck if you're feeling super risky, but there's just so much AoE removal that this doesn't seem worth it at all. But I could totally see it in a Dreadsteed deck.
Yeah, and it's about the only time I've ever found him to be a good card. Outside of that, he's not very good because it's pretty easy to remove the other minions from the board.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Another BFF tacked on. And I love the way you describe it, because it makes the Anima Golem as like a sad little kid out on the recess thing. And like, Dreadsteed's the only one who will hang out with me. So there you go. Put it in your Dreadsteed deck. Make sure they're friends for life. All right. So that's the show. We're going to have full show notes along with links to all the stuff we talked about, all the cards we talked about, all the articles and videos and all that stuff. It's all going to be on GameDiplomat.com. Just swing by there, click on Hearthstone at the top, and you'll find it all. As always, we'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added in the future, or hey, if you have ideas for the Dreadsteed spell, or if you have opinions on whether we should be doing standard or wild focus on the show, let us know. You can contact me directly on Twitter. I'm at jaugustine, or you can email me, ajosh@outlook.com. Or you can leave a comment on the blog or find us on Google+. Happy Hearthstone. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us. You can find more information at gamediplomat.com/donate. Chris, where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Chris Manning, or you can check out my photography portfolio at 500px.com/ChrisManning1.
Very cool. So we'll have a link to that. Yeah, you didn't actually mention that, but you are a photographer. That's job, right?
Yeah, so I do that as a job, and then I also do some freelance on the side, just and a lot of times just for fun. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Have you ever photographed a Dreadsteed?
Yet spot one in the wild.
Okay.
Maybe at some point.
Well, I'll hold out hope. All right, so Chris, thanks for joining us on the show today, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great.
It was fun. So I guess you passed, Chris. You'll be on next week too.
All right.
To do the deck battle episode. So thanks again for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us, everyone. We'll see you next time.
All right, bye.